As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The Athletic.
The only way to score is, of course, to play with a hand break off.
Hello, I'm Ian Stone. This is Handbrake Off, the Arsenal podcast brought to you by The Athletic. We're recording this after the rather disappointing 1-0 defeat in Portugal to Porto FC. We're going to try and work out what happened. I'm joined by Amy Lawrence and Adrian Clark. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Morning. Not such a good morning. Before we get into the nitty-gritty of what we watched last night, we thought, because we watched the Porto players fall over, at the merest hint of a touch from an Arsenal player. When have you fallen over? Adrian, I'm going to come to you first.
I mean, yeah, I might have fallen over a few times on nights out, but let's not go there.
Let's go there. That sounds like an excellent place
to go.
Well,
I can't really remember it. I tell you what, the first thing that came to mind, got a bit of an issue. I hope there's nothing wrong with me. Fall down the stairs quite a bit.
What?
Yeah, it's happened like 3 or 4 times. I would say it happens at least once a year where I fall down the stairs, which I think for a grown adult is quite a bad strike rate. I think it's sloppiness on my part. I think it's like not looking where my
carelessness. It's what we're going to talk about in a bit.
Exactly. I'm not diving down the stairs like the Porto players, but yeah, I've had an issue and I've hurt my back on numerous occasions. And I think the last time, it just went bump, 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 bump. I landed on my back, and all I could hear from my wife was, "Not again,
Adrian." I'm a little concerned. I think once a year is too much. I'll be honest with you. I'm worried you live in a townhouse. To be honest with you,
it's not even that steep.
It's not that steep. Okay.
I just sort of disregard the stairs as if it's flat, and it's not. You know, I don't take enough care. That's my issue.
Is it a phobia of stairs?
No, it's the opposite. I'm overconfident on stairs, and this is why I slip.
blimey, that took a turn I wasn't expecting. I'll be totally honest with you. Amy, falling over.
Yes, it also took a turn I wasn't expected, Adrian, because I was pretty convinced that when it came to, you know, falling over, that I would be the undisputed Don of this podcast. So you've thrown me slightly, but
in
answer to the question, you know, when have you fallen over, I would probably have to rephrase the question, when haven't you fallen over? I had a tendency to, well, as a child I had a nickname that was related to a certain lack of coordination, let's put it that way. Such was the frequency of my missteps.
Were you gawky? Were you gawky as a kid? Nobody uses that word enough, but I sort of sense you might have been.
I don't know. I'm feeling a little bit self-conscious here. Sorry. I don't know. Was I gawky? I was not the most coordinated. I was also quite vague. So I think there's a bit of a lack of paying attention thing
the
that maybe links up with Adrian's stare situation.
What is going on?
Life's too busy, isn't it? So much swilling on in our heads that we can't worry about the simple things.
No, I think it's very, very clever people who fall over a lot.
I've got stuff going on.
Kind of Venn diagram, and I'm not sure there's much meeting in the middle.
Ooh. Well, give us one story. We've got one story of falling over. Did you fall on something particularly hard or
honestly, it's disgusting? Tragic, but it's so common that it's really melded into one humongous fall.
Wow.
I did fall fairly recently, and there is a bit of a room 101 element to this. I was taking the dog for a walk one sunny Sunday morning and absolutely just went. And again, a bit like Adrian, a little bit worrying. I wasn't, there were no players in attendance. You know, there was no reason. The dog was off the lead and pulled me. I don't know what happened, but I ended up absolutely flat. I nearly knocked myself out, smashed my face in. I looked an absolute picture. Oh. And I was quite dazed and confused, and there was quite a lot of blood. And let's play count the joggers who pretty much ran, if not hopping over me, like just to the side without stopping to see if a woman of a certain age, face down in mud, blood everywhere, was okay. Okay, take a random guess, people.
Disgrace.
Quite a lot, I'd imagine. Quite a lot. But
18.
Know.
I counted 18 joggers. No. I kid you not.
You know
how long were you on the deck?
Straight into my room 101.
Yeah, you must have been on the deck a while.
I was winded. I couldn't get up.
Was there a fun run going on around you? I mean, this is an extraordinary amount of joggers.
Don't get me started on the joggers.
All right. Well, sorry to ask you the question, but by the way, Amy, I think they all went past saying that woman is young enough.
I think they thought there's a weird old drunk. Which is what slightly worried me.
Well, that's the other possibility. That's the other possibility. I mean,
look,
honestly,
there's some mad woman. Oh God, get away from her. Justifiable. Okay, I hold my hands up.
Listening to you two, I feel like some sort of, you know, world-class gymnast, to be honest with you, my coordination. I did fall over the dog about 6 months ago. He ran round the back of me and I just stepped back and he was there and I went, rash. And the human body makes a real like a bump when you hit paving, doesn't it? It did right on my arse, I'll be honest with you.
Oh, that's not good.
It was very uncomfortable. Adrian, you've got something to say.
Well, no, that just reminds me, because I think the listeners would like this little snapshot of back in the day. Dennis Bergkamp was quite a mischievous kind of fellow. He's a very dry sense of humour. He loved that one where you snuck up behind someone on all fours and then someone then pushed. So basically, you're behind someone, on all fours, crouching, and then someone just pushes that person, and you fall over. You fall over Dennis Bergkamp. He loved that one. So there you go.
Let's just take a moment to imagine one of the greatest players to ever pull on an Arsenal shirt titting about like that. I mean, it's just beautiful, isn't it, really? Anyway, we're talking about all this falling over, as you can guess, because of what it was like last night in the Estadio de Dragão, is that right, in Porto, where we had 65% possession, 10 corners, didn't have a single shot on target and conceded horribly with the last kick of the game. Adrian, I mean, this did feel like a step up in the Champions League, didn't it? I mean, this is very streetwise. I mean, Pepe wasn't even the worst of it. I thought he played quite fairly for most of the game. But they know how to frustrate the opposition, don't they?
More experience in the Champions League, FC Porto than us for sure. It was a step up because what they lack in outstanding sort of individual talent, they do make up for in teamwork and organisation. I thought it was a brilliant tactical performance from the manager, Sergio Conceição. Basically, they set up to stop Arsenal. That's all they were really interested in. Scoring was a bonus. It was all about stopping us. You saw what they did on set pieces. You know, every time there's contact, they hit the deck, as we've spoken about at length already. It was a little bit, a lot of housery going on. But also a lot of good organisation, very good defending. And those banks of four, the 4-4-5-1, I suppose it was, there were very few spaces and they blocked off that route where we try and pass it into Havertz, into Trossard. That was shut off quite brilliantly, I thought, from them. Could we have been a bit bolder and braver and better? Yes. I would rather, to be honest, put it down to an excellent defensive performance from the opposition.
Amy, tactically, you know, there's so much I don't understand when I watch these games. But Mikel Arteta, we have to remind ourselves, he's still a young coach and there's still learning experiences he'll have to go through. That one would be a big one last night, right?
Well, judging by the look on his face at the end, I'd say yes.
Yeah.
But I also think it was a bit of a learning experience, probably for the team as a whole. And I almost got the impression that there was a slight tension or edginess, maybe playing the occasion a little bit more than playing the actual reality of the game, as if they were thinking, okay, Champions League knockouts, you know, anybody who suspected Arsenal would waltz into Portugal and just repeat what they'd been able to do at Burnley and West Ham, that is not ever something that was likely to happen. But I think even in the players' heads, they maybe had that little element of like, got to get this right. Being 7 years out of the competition and also having a relatively unappealing record in the last 16 knockout rounds prior to that, not that that had a lot to do with the majority of these players. But, you know, it's in the kind of, in the feel of the club, if you like. It's still there. It's still kind of hanging around. They look like they were maybe overthinking, that's not the right word, but a bit over edgy and not quite sure about the right balance between kind of relaxing and intensity and concentration and expression. And it all got slightly muddled, a little bit frustrating. It wasn't quite coming off. And even just that the histrionics was probably a bit new, because there was not a lot of that in the group stages, that's for sure. You don't get it to the same degree in the Europa League normally. And coming up against that sort of, that tactic in a way, it is a part of the tactic of the game, was probably something a bit tricky. And I find myself wondering, it'd be interesting if Arsenal thought, okay, if they're going to do that, why don't we? I mean, obviously that's not how this team thinks, but I'd like to know how Porto would have reacted if Arsenal started falling over as well.
Well, I imagine they
would have been interesting, just to because they had it exactly how they wanted it, the Porto players, in that regard. It was totally premeditated.
And the right ref, didn't they?
They could suss pretty quickly that referee was going to go along with it. And once they get that that nod, if you like, of approval, it just allowed them to do exactly what they wanted to minimise any fluidity in the game.
But that being said, about the way that Porto set up and the way they played, I think Amy's right, Adrian. The nervousness, I mean, the fact that Declan Rice gets booked after 65 seconds, where it was a misplaced pass from, I think it was Gabriel, I'm not sure, he was facing the other way. But even then, and Ali McCoy said it on commentary, he didn't have to dive in there. And I think in a league game, he may well not have done. He may well have just stood him up and forced him to go back. It didn't actually affect his game, not in any real sense, but it shows that sense of nervousness that was around the team.
They were definitely edgy, 100%. They weren't comfortable in their surroundings. And they've looked so comfortable, haven't they, in recent games. Everyone was just a little bit off, 5%. The passing. I mean, simple, relatively simple passes were going 2 or 3 yards awry and going out of play. The touch. We know our players have got amazing first touches, but the ball was bouncing off them. It felt like the ball. Do you know what? When I was watching, I was thinking that pitch must be rock hard and slip, and they've wet it. So it's like a skate rink. You know, that's what it looked like. And it also looked like the ball was pumped up too hard, you know, because everything was sort of, it was moving so quickly. It was quite strange to watch. But I think a lot of it was down to edginess from Arsenal. Just going back briefly to the sort of stop-start nature of the game, it reminded me massively of Arsenal-Newcastle last year, 0-0, where they came with spoiling tactics. And I looked at the time in play, okay? So the match lasted 97 minutes and 7 seconds. The ball was in play for 50 minutes and 11 seconds.
That's what it felt like to watch.
That is painful. Yeah, that is anti-football. It's sort of it's killing the game as a spectacle. Referee allowed it to happen, and we have to live with it. But they made it exactly the type of match that Porto wanted it to be. And the second leg, it's down to us to make it the type of match we want it to be. And that means high tempo. Every time there's a throw, a free kick, we're bang, we're at it. Don't give them a moment's peace.
Yeah, my son at the end of that game said that was modern football at its worst. And I think he had a point, really. It was just that's exactly what you can get when two high-level technical teams and then one is playing like that. I want to ask about the squad. Amy, I said, and I felt for a few weeks we've been a bit light on the bench. A friend of ours who was actually at the game yesterday did a little WhatsApp back saying he thinks there's talent on the bench, but Mikel won't use them. Where do you come down on this? I mean, we're talking, there's Reece Nelson, Eddie Nketiah and Emile Smith-Rowe on the bench. And after that, there isn't a lot of attacking intent. But what do you think about what our pal said?
I think it's a bit of captain hindsight, because if the, you know, given the way that the team with that lineup had been playing in the recent games, I think if Arsenal had played a bit better or had got a bit of a better result, that wouldn't be an issue, wouldn't really be a question. And again, you're looking at people on the bench that, you know, maybe there's, it's not bringing in, you know, guaranteed goal threat, actually, with those, the three loved homegrown players, but it's difficult to say you're 0-0 away from home in a really uncomfortable game in a two-legged knockout affair. How much do you sort of like gamble to, you know, bring on some fresh legs in attack that you're not convinced are going to necessarily change the game? I don't have a massive issue with it. I think if it's the same sort of lineup against Newcastle and people are looking tired, then maybe I'd have a slightly different overview, but I don't have any particular issues with it yesterday.
It wasn't a strong bench, was it?
Well, I certainly didn't feel that. And also, of course, I mean, about half an hour in, I did tweet that we're missing Zinchenko in a game like this, in terms of, I thought Kivior did all right, although he was certainly, he got caught a little bit for when they hit the post in the first half. But I just think missing Zinchenko and missing Jesus, this is serious Champions League experience that we just didn't have.
Massive. Yeah, I do think that we did. He didn't really have anyone that you could bank on. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. Smith Rowe's been out for ages and hasn't scored for a long, long time. So you haven't got fresh memories of him coming on and changing the game for the better. Vieira's there, but has been out for months. Eddie's
been a bit unconvincing in Champions League games.
Yeah, and he's not having a great season. And really, in truth, he's not had a great few months. And I think with what's happened tactically of late with Havertz and Trossard getting the nod ahead of him, I would imagine that Eddie's quite a little bit disillusioned as well. So
yes,
the only change I would have made was Jorginho, if I'm honest. I think otherwise you're probably weakening the team. But yeah, it's easy to look back and say we should have freshened it. But yeah, it was just a very mediocre performance from us. Mediocre. Yeah,
it was. Well, we'll need something better. But I all I was going to add to that before we move on. Ben, our producer, says, can they squeeze in a trip to Dubai before the return leg? Yeah, that would be quite useful, to be honest with you, because it seemed to work last time. But we had a message from Munash, wrote to us at handbreak@theathletic.com and said, now more than ever, I think we need to call for more calm amongst the fan base. Scrolling through socials, you couldn't escape the toxicity from fellow Gunners. Everyone at the club has undoubtedly learned from this horrible experience, and I'm confident we will come back swinging in the second half and steamroll Porto, because it's just what we do. Then it says in bracket, hello Lawns and West Ham. The squad we have is young and these are important experiences. They need to continue to grow into the heavyweights they have the potential to be. We as a fan base just need to back them in good times and back them even more in the bad times, especially in these kind of tricky situations where a result may not go away. In this case, we are down, but definitely not out. I like that. I've always been, as you know, optimistic. Amy, did you get on social media after the game? Because there was a bit of toxicity, but there were also people saying, chill out, it's half time. It's half time. If we're going to lose one of the last six games, that was definitely the one to lose because we got a chance of getting it back in the second leg.
Yeah, I think it would have been a little bit zany to overreact at this point in time. I think save it, see what happens after the second leg, and by all means, get overly critical if you need to at that point, but this is not really the time.
Adrian, second leg. I mean, 1-0 away from home, as much as 0-0 would have been a better result, 1-0 down away from home, especially with our home record, it's not the worst result in the world.
No, 0-0 would have been nicer, but yeah, they're not great travellers, FC Porto, traditionally, over, you know, a long time in the Champions League. Their record in England is bad. And look, that we shouldn't expect them to do anything different, because it worked, didn't it? Whatever it was that they did with that organisation.
I think Arsenal would be a bit different.
Exactly. Yeah. But from their end, they're going to fall over a lot. They're going to be defensive. They're going to
You can picture the crowd now, like the Emirates crowd howling.
Exactly. but at least we'll prep for it as a fan base.
We will be ready. We will.
And first the players will be ready. And I think that they will come up with a way. I think the best way is, like what I said earlier, keep that tempo really high. Don't give them a moment's peace. Make it far less stop-start. You know, it's got to be a flowing game as much as we can make it. I think Zinni will make a difference if he's fit and available. Partey, potentially. Because really, they shut us off down that middle of the pitch. We couldn't find any headway.
Jesus.
And we've got to be better in that regard in this game.
All right.
So look, everything about that performance, we've got to do 10% better. And if we do, we'll probably win 3-0.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
They get a handbrake off and you can see that they are more free to play.
Ian Stone, Amy Lawrence and Adrian Clark here on Handbrake Off, the Arsenal podcast brought to you by The Athletic. Very interesting that you said about the fact that, Adrian, you reminded you of Newcastle, that game, that home game, incredibly frustrating when the ball also wasn't in play for very much time at all, and the cheating.
Good prep for Saturday night then, wasn't
good
it?
Good prep for Saturday night. 8 o'clock kickoff. What are we, Spain? Anyway, here we are. 8 o'clock kickoff on a Saturday night against Newcastle at home at the weekend. In the Premier League, we're going great. 5 Premier League wins in a row, 21 scored, 2 conceded. Amy, this is a game. I mean, in the end, we have to win all our games and hope that other teams slip up here and there. This is not going to be an easy game. They will come with a similar setup. They may not fall over quite as much, but they will come to defend and try and get maybe nick a goal on the break.
Something tells me that Arsenal are going to be quite fired up for this. I think that never mind the last home game and the 0-0, I think what happened at St James's Park earlier on this season has a place in the psyche of this team. And I think that there's a sort of vibe. They don't just want to win the game. They want to meet something out a little bit to give a little bit of pain back if they possibly can. So I have a feeling that Arsenal are going to be... So long as this Champions League game hasn't sort of taken too much out of them energy-wise, they'll be highly motivated.
They will, won't they, Adrian? And I mean, we, as Amy brought up, and to be honest, I wasn't particularly happy to be reminded of what happened at the James's Park a few months ago. It was horrible. But, with our home record and the crowd behind them and how fired up they'll be, they'll tear into Newcastle, won't they?
Yeah, we will. But Newcastle had found a way to stop us, haven't they? You know, it was an injustice, or we felt it was, but we deserved more from the game. But we still didn't score. We didn't have that many clear-cut chances. And And in that 0-0 last year, we weren't great. They shut us down and they stifled us. So they think they've got a formula to tame this team. So we've got to disappoint them, haven't we? We've got to come with something a little bit newer, something a bit fresher, and make sure history doesn't repeat itself. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to the game, but I don't think we're going to steamroller them, unfortunately. I wish I could sit
here.
I'm
not saying we're going to. I'm saying I think they want to.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And it should be a great atmosphere under the lights Saturday night. Those of us that live outside London, none of us can get home. It's a nightmare. I genuinely can't get home because I've got to go on the train and there is no train home. So it's a disgrace, really, that's been moved to that time. But
well, those of us who entertain the public for a living also can't go to the game, by the way, just to let you know. Saturday night is a work.
Well, we're supposed to be sympathetic to you, Stacey.
Yes, yes.
It's not quite the same as you can't get a train home.
No, I'll give you that.
I can get as far as Milton Keynes. That's my home for the night.
Well, I mean, now he's up the ante in terms of the suffering by
Adrian,
a number of levels.
You can stay on my sofa if you need to.
There you go. There are stairs in the house, though. I should warn
you. Yes, there are a few.
I think it's going to be a tight game, Stan. Just going back to football briefly, I'll let Amy speak. I think we're going to have to work hard to score goals. Dan Burn is a liability at the moment. I think he might get dropped. That's the problem. And I think Trippier might come to the left against Saka, which would be tougher for him. And Livramento will probably come into the team. So I think it's going to be hard to score. But we back us to score, back us to win. But it might be hard work.
And in terms of injuries, Amy, we do have a few players on the way back. Gabriel Jesus, Zinny, hopefully. Maybe even Thomas Partey. I mean, we need the squad fit now, don't we, for the games we've got coming up. They're all enormous.
Yeah, absolutely. The more the merrier. Bring them all back, patch them up and, get them out there. Definitely. I think Timber's the one I'm really looking forward to coming back into the team.
Yeah.
He might be another week or two further down the line than some, but I don't think it's too far away.
Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We've got a quiz question, by the way, without any answers, but we can try and guess them. Who are the four players to have played for both Arsenal and Newcastle in the Premier League?
Willock,
oh yes, all right, that's the easy one out of the way. Newcastle and Arsenal in the Premier League, four players. Who else has played for both teams? I can't think of a single one.
Hayden. Isaac Hayden went there, didn't he?
Isaac Hayden, good call.
Yeah.
Just left. I'm not sure. Amy, any thoughts?
Keep thinking about pre-Prem players like Kenny Sansom, which is not really answering the question.
Did Sol Campbell play for Newcastle?
Ooh,
did he?
Good shout.
Not many times, did he?
It's indeed Sol Campbell. The other one, I'm just not sure you're going to get.
Can we have a clue?
Debussy.
Clue. Too late.
Debussy, yeah.
To be honest, if he walked into the room now, I'm not sure I'd recognise him, to be honest with you. And said it was his name was Debussy. Anyway, yeah, he played for anyone who got all four of them. Well done, by the way.
I'm just imagining this fantastic image. Dear listener, we can see Ian in his little room at the moment with the kind of glass door, and there's a knock on the door, and in walks Matteo Debussy, and Stoney looks at him and he goes, bonjour. And then the thing that got me about your comment is you said you wouldn't even recognise him if he said his name. So I'm imagining him saying, bonjour, Stoney, je suis Matteo Debussy. And you're going, who?
Well, I don't say who. You
know, is
I
that think really his name... what's... You really wouldn't know him by his name? Are we,
well,
are
not
we
if
there?
You said Matteo, because I think his name was Claude, wasn't it? Wasn't it Claude Debussy?
No.
I think you're getting your composers...
I am.
Your impressionist composers and your French.
But you even like Arsenal.
A bit of a pickle.
Oi, back off. Back off. We, you know what? Let's get a song from each of you before we go. Amy, what's your song for this?
Well,
week?
I'm gonna go for some Claude Debussy.
That's what it was. That's who I was thinking about, Claude Debussy. Is it Matteo Debussy, was it?
Okay. Apart, I did have an alternative song, which is an honour of for our wonderful exhibiting of staying on their feet from our friends from Porto, and that's Culture Club and I'll Tumble For You.
Adrian, what about you? What song you got for us?
Yeah, it's Route One, isn't it, this week? It has to be revolving around Falling Over. Harry Styles, bit of a ledge. Saw him on the telly the other day. Did you see him at Luton?
Harry Styles getting an extra strong mint from Mick Harford.
That was brilliant, wasn't it?
What were they talking about? Imagine what they talked about. Well, they were sharing mints. People don't need to chat when they're sharing mints.
Brilliant to see. So it reminded me of Harry Styles. And he did have a song that's quite a nice song called Falling. I think it's I'm Falling Again, I'm Falling Again, I'm Falling. I mean, that was what Porto were doing.
Sorry, all I've got in my head now is Beyonce meeting, I don't know, Matteo Debussy, for example, sharing mints with them. I've gone.
I think this could be the start of a great dream dinner party.
I've gone for Free Falling by Tom Petty because he's got Falling in the title, and that's what they did. Just need a better ref next time, by the way. We need a better ref who's not going to fall for it and who's not going to fall for the falling. See what I did?
If
there.
You're a ref of the second leg, say you've been named, you'd watch the first leg, wouldn't you? You'd have to. It'd be professional to watch it, I think, just to get a feel for the teams, the players, what happened. Hopefully that would play in our favour, because any ref that watches that in the cold light of day would surely see what Porto were trying to do.
And some people might be listening thinking, is this mind games from Adrian, right? Is it, if the ref is listening, you're getting in his head. And he's thinking,
I don't think they'll be listening to
us. I wasn't going to watch a really dull 1-0 win with a last-minute goal, but now I'll have a look. And then he'll sit there and go, oh, yeah, Adrian's right. Well, hopefully, because there were times when the referee was ready to blow before they even went down. I mean, there were a couple of absolutely stupid ones in the second half that I'm still angry about. Anyway, that's it for this edition of Hand Break Off. It's only half time, everyone. It's only half time. Calmer. That's what we need. Yeah, thanks to Amy Lawrence. Thanks to Adrian Clark. Thanks to Ben for producing the show. And we'll see you on Monday. I'll manage to catch the highlights, I'm sure. And we'll talk about, hopefully, a great win over Newcastle. Have a nice weekend. Ta-da.